Good evening and welcome to Hot Topic from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen. I have my co-host.
And good afternoon. How are you doing tonight? What a special week this is.
Yes, it is exciting to be back for the second time since we were on vacation break. And there's so much to discuss because so much is going on. And it's we're going to be talking about mastering resilience in unprecedented times. So much is going on in the world today. People are stressed out. They're worried about their finances. They're worried about their family. They're worried about COVID. They're worried about the war. So much is going on, but there is peace in the valley.
Absolutely. You know, here's the thing that is so different is that people have to understand that we're all in this at the same time. There are many things that happen in life that we can feel like we're in a valley. We're isolated to ourselves because we think that we're the only one that is experiencing it. But in this pandemic of COVID-19, we are all experiencing it. That means that no one escapes from it. No country have escaped from it. So it means that in order to get through it, it's going to require us to think a different way. It's going to require us to make a deliberate and concerted effort to address what's going on, because so much of what we have to do to navigate through this time period is based upon what we think, our conception, our perception, and most of all, what are we willing to do to shift our mindset? That is going to be critical in this time.
And, you know, when you said, what are we willing to do? You know, I want you to go into more detail regarding that, because a lot of people don't want to participate in their own rescue. They can see things happening around them and they refuse to do anything about it. They succumb to depression. They succumb to the fears of it all, the anxiety of, oh, woe is me. How are we going to get through this? But there is a way to press through all of this. But you're going to have to participate. You have to renew your mind. Your mind has to be adjusted to the climate that we're in right now. People have lost loved ones and they've, you know, depression is real. You know, when you love somebody and you're used to somebody in your space all the time and used to calling that person and they're no longer at that other end of the phone. And then you have people that are struggling with their belief system regarding, should I take the vaccination? Should I not take it? What is this going to mean? Then there's individuals worried about their jobs. You know, is their job security because of the fact that companies are shutting down? But even though it seems like it's the worst of times, it is still the best of times. You know how many jobs are available now? Businesses are begging people to come to work. Come to work. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to come to work because they've taken advantage of the stimulus packages that were given. And, you know, they're kind of like checked out emotionally and mentally for their sakes and the sake of their families.
What happens is that we have to all check the vision that we have for our lives. What is the vision that we have for our lives going forward? We cannot get stuck in this present, because if we get stuck in this present, what will happen is that the very thing that was meant just to assist us becomes the very thing that becomes our convenient and our comfort. And we know that comfort and convenience is the enemy of progress. It's the enemy of progress. And so, like you said, there are companies all over saying help wanted, job opportunities. But people are not returning to the workforce, many of them, because they have enjoyed not only the stimulus, the unemployment packages, all of those things. There were people who literally stopped working because they could make more, get more through the unemployment assistance. Then on top of that, child care tax credit. All those things there. And so people said, well, look, why should I have to go out there and bust my butt laboring when I'm going to get this for nothing? Right. And the reality is that it's never for nothing. It's temporary. It's short-sighted. What we should have is a vision for going forward. Can I see myself moving forward? What is it that I see moving forward? Like you said, we're talking about these times that are happening now. But you know what? Necessity is the mother of all inventions. That means the fact that necessity, if you go through enough adversity, it'll cause you to reinvent some things if you allow it to. If you go through enough adversity, the plumber all of a sudden just became an electric technician because the adversity and necessity birthed something different inside of him. In this pandemic, we cannot afford to be so frightened of the pandemic itself that we stop living. In other words, breathe. Take time to breathe. We've got to breathe in this time because what we must know, if we focus on the fear, we'll never move on the faith. If we focus on the fear, it immobilizes us and we don't move on the faith. And we've got to be able to move on the faith in this time. So as you said, we have things that have turned into political statements and political rivalry, you know, whether we should wear a mask or not wear a mask, take the vaccine or not take the vaccine. Well, here's the thing. Every individual must be able to really do some deep thinking. And when I talk about thinking, thinking is important because the way we think ultimately determines our action.
Right.
As a man
thinking, so is he, yes.
So is he. And so what we know this is this, that we act the way that we act or make decisions that we make because we think the way that we think. So until we make some concrete decision, and thinking is critical, thinking is the ability to process with reason, to process with fact, to process with our mind, to be able to accumulate information and things around us in order to make a decision. And so when we refuse to allow ourselves to be exposed to knowledge or proper information, we're stuck. We're looking at life through this very narrow prism. But when we start looking at our lives and what is our vision for our life, then what we understand is this, that I can access critical information. I can determine what happens. What happens if I don't do something about this? What is the pros and cons of me wearing a mask and me not wearing one?
Right.
Me being vaccinated or not being vaccinated? And when we start looking through those things, it falls into what we talk about, the different types of thinking, critical thinking. Critical thinkers don't ever get stuck on the moment. Critical thinkers are always looking at how they're thinking. I want you to catch that. Critical thinkers are always thinking and always taking a look at how they're thinking. So they examine their decision. They examine their process. Strategic thinkers oftentimes only, they plan for a goal. They plan for just a goal. How do I get out of this? Strategic thinkers, however, are also critical thinkers. That means that they've got to look at things and really do so. And if we want to spiritualize it, yes, you ought to consider counsel. Yes, you ought to consider the fact of what are the outcomes, what are the pros and cons. But what you should not do is stop thinking.
Right.
You should not just make up your mind, well, you got to leave some kind of way. Everybody got to go. I'm going to ride this until something better come along. No. You've got to, like you said, participate in your own rescue. And the first thing you need to rescue is your thoughts.
Yes.
Rescue your thoughts in your mind. Well, it's interesting. In my favorite book, that's a passage of scripture that says, taking into captivity every thought and every vain imagination that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Well, I need to understand, if God wants me to have life and life more abundantly, then why am I allowing myself to entertain ideas and thought that totally grounds me, that totally makes me think doom and gloom, that totally makes me think that this is the end and start writing my obituary out? No, it is time to get up and live, get a vision in this time, find something worth fighting for. Don't succumb to death. Don't succumb to being comfortable. And that's the danger. Convenience and comfort very seldom is traveling the direction of being successful in life. It just don't. They don't travel the same way. So that means that we have to take the adversity that we go through and we have to look it in the eye and say, come on, I'm not going to just go through. I'm not going to be guilty of going through without going through. I'm going to grow through this process here.
Got to grow through it.
You got to grow through it. And so many people, the reason why their belief system is so impaired, because they've gone through things for years, but they've never grown through things. Ooh, and so every time there's something that comes about, whether it's a stimulus package or whatever, rather than being empowered by it, they become enabled by it. Two different things. They become enabled by it. So now I become totally dependent on it. I become totally subject to it. However, when I become empowered, empowered is something meaning that there's a source of strength that lifts me up. Now, if I'm not being lifted up in my mind, if I'm not being lifted up in my consciousness, if I'm not being lifted up, then that means that guess what? I have not learned my lesson. Because there's nothing that we go through that there's not a lesson. It's always a lesson. So we've got to stop it. We cannot allow ourselves to have a pity party neither. Some people are in love with being a victim.
Yes.
They are. They're in love with being a victim. In other words, they rather have your sympathy and empathy than your encouragement. They love your sympathy and your empathy. Poor you, I feel so sorry for you. But they're not so much ready to receive your encouragement, your empowerment that says to them, listen, you got to rise up from where you are. You got to change your thinking. You've got to elevate your mind. You got to move from where you are. You've got to take yourself and put yourself in another place. In other words, we've got to be able to see ourselves where we're not. In other words, call those things that are not as though there were. So stop writing your obituary. Stop writing it off. Stop saying, well, it's going to be like, no, you need to start speaking and commanding your day, commanding your atmosphere. When you wake up in the morning, that's the first guarantee that you have been given a new lease on life. It's your first guarantee that I have an opportunity to make the next few hours. I don't know how many hours I got left, but I'm going to live them out each moment at a time. That means that rather than to give myself negative energy, I've got to speak positively. I've got to take a hold of things, and it depends on what your belief system is. All things are possible to them that what? Believe.
Yeah, a lot of people are not believing, Dr. J. That's the problem. They're stunt in their mindset and their thinking. And you saying, you know, each day people are getting up, but they don't have anything, any thoughts except for what they watched on television the night before. Turn the television off. Stop watching negative things. Stop watching the news, because the news is depressing. I went months without knowing what was going on in the world.
Exactly.
Because my mindset could not handle it. Yeah, this is me, Dr. Val, and my mindset couldn't take another thing. We deal with people that have domestic violence issues. We have people that, you know, are dealing with a depression, and they've lost loved ones. So you and I were ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ as well. So we don't just do this here. We have a whole gamut of weight that's upon us. You have Destiny by Choice. I have control of a woman foundation. So just because we're in a pandemic, domestic violence doesn't stop. Suicide doesn't stop. Depression doesn't stop. So I have enough dealing with individuals that are going through me, trying to encourage them and empower them to live their best life, to pull within themselves. Because guess what? If you woke up, that means God has need of you. There's a purpose in your life. And really, you know, it's selfish to think that, oh, let me just check out of here, because you don't know the lives that you're affecting by you checking out. It's selfish. And your life is not about you. It's about what God wants to do through you. So, you know, get up out of that pity party and then take a, you know, every man should leave a legacy, whether you have children or not. You
absolutely
leave here. Horace Mann said, you should be ashamed to die until you've made a contribution to mankind. What are you contributing except for the fact that, oh, I'm going through this. Oh, my car was repossessed. Oh, I got evicted. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Do you know that me and my four children were homeless for 3 months? We lived in a garage in somebody's, the detached garage of somebody's home. And I paddled through it. Four kids, homeless. And at the time, I didn't have a job. I didn't have a car. But guess what? The money that I got with the job that I finally got, I bought me a piece of car. When I say a piece of car, it was a piece of car. It was barely making it. And the job that I had, I'm living in Broward County. And the job I got wound up being in Miami.
Wow.
So riding a piece of car. And then having to drop my children off and then wanting me to drop them off down the street because they didn't want anyone to see them being dropped off in a raggedy car. I still had to press my way through it because it wasn't about me. I had four children depending on me, and I owed it to them to do better. And they were my driving force. But there's people, Dr. J, that, you know, they're by themselves. They don't have a spouse. They don't have any children. They're like, well, what's the point? Why do I have to get up? Why do I have to do anything? Why do I have to participate? Why do I have to help anybody? Can you speak to that? Why the importance of that?
Well, there's two things to do. Not only the what, but we have to talk about the fact of what. What is it that will cause us to move out of this place of complacency? See, when we give up easily on things, when we give up, when we don't see the risk, in other words, do we see the risk as being too great or then the reward, it stagnates us. And we're stagnated in a place where we're not moving forward. In your case, when you recall the story of your kids and going through the situation that you had gone through, it took something that knit something enough to you. Even if it wasn't for yourself, you got to find a purpose bigger than yourself in order to move forward. Sometimes what causes us to move forward is the fact that we see the future. That's what vision is all about. See, my people do perish when there is no vision. We perish when we have no insight, no ability to see beyond ourselves. So what is vision? Vision is the ability to perceive destiny. It's me standing in the now, but seeing the then. So even in the midst of being in the garage that belongs to somebody else and driving the car that was raggedy, in the midst of that, the thing that drove you, that you had to see a then. You had to see a better day. You had to see that your kids could not remain here. This is not what you wanted to leave them with. This is not the legacy you wanted them to have. So guess what? You could have probably endured if it was just you. Probably could have been complacent if it was just you. You probably could have stayed in it a little longer if it was just you. But when you realize and you got a vision of something that was bigger than yourself, it drove you to do so. Listen, when you get a vision of yourself and a vision that is bigger than yourself and you can see outside of yourself, what happens is this. It begins to really empower your sense of resiliency. There's a reason why I haven't thrown in the towel, because I'm resilient. Part of mastering resilience is the way that we think. We have to think to grow whole. What do you mean? Think to grow whole. I don't want to be part. I want to be whole. Where I'm injured, I want to grow whole. So we have to change the way that we think. So when we look at changing the way we think, what has to happen is this. For those that have become complacent, ask yourself, is this all that you're worth? Which leads us to knowing your value. Knowing your value. How many times you have put yourself on discount? You don't understand. You got a whole clearance sale going on yourself because you don't know your value. You don't know your value, so you accept stuff that you shouldn't accept. But by the same token, in knowing your value, it's the same reason why you endured certain things. Because you know what? I'm going to endure it because I'm coming through it. I'm coming through it. And we cannot allow what happened to us to cause us to give up now. You know, it's interesting. Ralph Waldo Emerson said it like this. He said, what lies behind us, those are the things that have happened to us. And the things that lie before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. So in the midst of your calamity, in the midst of your pandemic, in the midst of your challenges, in the midst of your backset, in the midst of your momentary problem, you've got to allow capacity to be built inside of you that will lift you up out of where you are. This is not time to find somebody that's going to be your pity partner.
Right.
It's time to find someone that's going to empower you. Speak life to yourself. And you said something so incredibly important. People totally bathe themselves and self-medicate themselves in television programs. News. Things that only continue to, if you would, overwhelm them, give them a very doomed picture of what the future looks like. If all you do is indoctrinate yourself with bad news, what do you think you're thinking it's going to be? Mm-hmm. You got to turn it off. You got to turn off the recording in your mind. Make up your mind, this is it. Say to yourself, this is the last day I'm going to be in this situation.
This is it.
This is the last day I'm going to find myself at this economic level. This is the last day. Make it deliberate. Make it intentional. And make it a must inside of it. If nobody comes along and says, good job, no, you've got to be able to know that I am doing this not because I'm looking for cheers. I'm doing this because it is a mandate. I am too much in pursuit of my destiny to stop now. I must reclaim my destiny. Your children gave you strength in the midst of what you're going through. And yet it's still in the same reason you're hurt, your pain, the very thing that caused you to be fearful and you thought about all this I'm dealing with. Oh my God, what am I going to do with four kids? I don't have. If you took all your time to focus on what you did not have, you would have never birthed any idea of where you're going.
Absolutely.
Stop looking at what we don't have and start looking at what we do have. One of the greatest things that we have is what? Life, health, and strength. The problem is too many people, they spend time on earth existing, but not living. They're just existing. You got air, you know, coming through your nostrils and your lungs, but you're existing. It's time to live. It's time to live. Declare, I shall live and not die.
And not die.
Declare the word of the Lord. So we're not done yet. And that's what everybody's got to tell us. I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. And so when we take on the attitude that we're not done yet, it is what motivates us to move forward. I'm not done yet. Before you want to close out this chapter, no, you can close out the chapter, but the book isn't done, okay? The book isn't done. Even what you're going through, it cannot last. It did not come to stay. It only came to pass. Are you willing to watch it? Are you willing to endure until it comes to pass? That means that you don't stop thinking. You don't stop meditating. You don't stop equipping yourself. You don't stop continue to inspire yourself. Looking, watch this. I love this. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly, meaning my beyond, abundantly, meaning over and over again, above all that we can even ask, think, imagine, envision.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. Beyond all that we can ask, think, imagine, or even envision. You got to ask yourself the question, at the very end of your imagination, there's something greater there. I want to be like Star Trek. I want to boldly go where my mind has never gone before. I want to go there where I've not experienced before. And that's what's there for us. We practice our limitations way too much. We practice our limitation, and guess what? We get them. We rehearse our limitation, and we get them. Because whatever we continue to nurture, that's what grows in our mind. So make up in your mind. If you're around toxic people who continue to practice your limitation, it's time to get the scissors. It's time to get the shears. And you got to do that. You got to sever it. Because if you don't sever it, you will be connected to folks who will always drain you. People will always feed you poison. And people who are only satisfied with you because you're no better than they are.
Mm.
When you make up in your mind that you're ready to elevate, guess what? You'll find out who's really there, because guess what? There's some people who like you as long as you're where they are, but they don't like you too much when you start elevating, when you start changing your mind. You thought it was a new Gucci that they're mad about? You thought it was a new outfit they're mad about? They're not mad about the new outfit or new Gucci. They are upset about the fact of the new attitude, the new possibility, the new insight that you now have that is driven. But I'm going to tell you, I'm giving you permission. Go ahead and make a lot of folks mad. Mm-hmm. Make a lot of folks mad because you have a new attitude. Make a lot of folks mad because you're not speaking the language of defeat. Make a lot of folks mad because you're not giving in and saying, well, this is all I got. No. Make them mad because of the fact you've determined in your mind that I refuse to allow the limitations of this present to stop me from getting to where I need to get to. And that's what's crucial.
Yeah, see, it's never too late to reinvent yourself.
Never.
It's never too late to reinvent yourself. There are so many people that are saying, oh, we're in a pandemic. I've been waiting for my husband. I've been waiting for my wife. Now we're in a pandemic. How am I going to meet anybody? How am I going to? Do you know how many people have gotten married in the pandemic?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. A lot of people got married. They found love. They're communicating yourself. But you have to open your mouth. You know, Dee Thompson is going to be joining us next week, and she has a book called Purpose Never Dies. You know, Absolutely. Your purpose never dies. Absolutely. It never dies. You have to awaken yourself to be able to produce those things that God has for you to produce, and you need to be able to connect with those people that he wants you to connect with. But a lot of times we're selfish, we're stagnant in our lives, we're stagnant in our thoughts because of the fact that we want to say, oh, me, it's all about me, and it's all about where I am right now. Oh, nobody likes me. Nobody called me today. I've been here for 2 weeks. And people that were my friends, they don't even call and check on me. They don't even know that I exist. I could be in this house by myself dead and know, oh, woe is me. All this pity party going on. But what about you coming out of your shell? You know, once you start walking in the path and the way that God wants you to walk, you will align yourselves with new individuals, new friends. But as long as you stay stuck with those surroundings that you have, you'll never shift to get to that next level. You'll never meet those individuals that God wants you to meet. And I do believe that when it comes down to love and finding that Mr. Right, that you have to be able to be in alignment with the assignment God has for your life. Because he said in his word, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. That means it's not good for woman to be alone either. He said, it's not good.
No, but it's
we
not.
We have to put ourselves now. No, you don't have to put yourself out there like a slut or like a gigolo or something, but no. Don't allow yourself to be robbed of the beauty that you possess inside. You know, let someone see that light so that it could glorify you, the individuals, the greater you that God has created. And so that someone will be attracted to you. But if you're sitting up in your house all sour and looking like a prude, then nobody's going to want to knock on that door and see if you want to go out to dinner. And let me talk about going out, Dr. J.
Okay.
I am so tired of my sisters in the store with stuff on their heads, these bonnets on their heads, and these hoochie shorts and these raggedy tops, you know, like they just was painting somewhere, or they just rolled out of bed and just walking down the aisles and stuff. Nobody wants to date that or see that. When you go out and beautify yourself. Look good. Clean up. You don't want nobody walking past you now wondering if you stink or not because of the way you look. You know, we got to do better if we want better.
Presentation is everything. And it is. Presentation is everything.
We got to do better if we want better. Presentation is everything.
And like I said,
you got to align yourself with different people. If you want to have friends, you must first show yourself friendly. You know, a lot of times you have your ways where you're talking about people and doing stuff. You have to be friendly. You have to give of yourself, give of your time, you know, check on some. Instead of worrying about who's calling, checking for you, you need to call and check on somebody yourself.
You hit on your head. And a great deal of that also has a lot to do with being transparent. Mm-hmm. And watch this, and being truthful with ourselves. I'm convinced there are a lot of people that are still walking alone because they put up all these walls, but these walls is really guarding their vulnerability. They can't be transparent. So now they have these lists of, I'm not taking this, this not going to be, it's got to be this way, it's got to be that way, another. And what you're really saying is that I don't think I can trust anyone any longer. I'm not sure how I want to give myself
right.
You want to see me like that. And you've got to be able to move beyond that. Here's the thing. Work on you. Don't work against you. Work on you, but don't work against yourself. And if you're willing, as you said too, if you're willing to go beyond the hurt, stop rehearsing the pain. Stop joining the full bandwagon. There ain't no good brothers out there. There ain't no good sisters out there. All you're doing is rehearsing it over and over again. And you're convincing yourself that's the case. And the reality is, as a man, with that type of attitude, I'm not going to look at you neither, because the fact you basically have said to me that you're unavailable, but I am available. That's why I'm here. No, you're not. You're not available mentally.
Ooh, yes, say that.
You're not available mentally. You're not available. Your whole aura that you give off, although you say you want a man and you would desire to have one, your aura says that you're unavailable. You're unavailable mentally. You've already said, I'm not letting you in. You've already given the sign that, you got to break through these walls. Really?
Oh, Dr. J, why are you talking about from a man perspective? As a man, what is it that you look for? And is there an aura indeed that you do pick up from women when you meet them? Because, you know, you're out there, you're an attractive single man. And, you know, I'm sure women, you know, coming. So what is it that you're looking for, and describe what that veil looks like? Because, you know, I traveled the world and I've met so many different people, and I've had guys, and when I got engaged, I had men tell me they thought that I was already married or in a serious relationship because of the way I carried myself. They just assumed I belonged to somebody. So when they heard I was engaged, they were like, engaged? I could have had a shot. I thought you were. And I said, so, but I didn't realize I was doing it. So that's why I'm asking you to elaborate on that, because I didn't realize I was doing it, because I was focused on my business. I was focused on where I wanted to go in life. I knew mentally I wanted to be in a certain space. So did I want somebody in my life? Yeah, I did. Did I want to get married? Yeah, I did want to get married, but I didn't realize that I had a veil over me. But then again, that veil was a good veil, because I really got myself a nice king.
Yes, you did. You got a nice kiss with my brother, and I'm very happy, you know, and I think about that. But let me say this. First of all, that wasn't a bad thing, because what that said to the brothers, what they saw a woman who was not so, they did not see a woman that was so desperate that she was like, you know, that she just threw themselves at them. So they saw a woman who walked in the highest respect, a woman who walked in the highest of confidence, a woman who walked with this reassurance. Now, some people say that some men are afraid of that. I don't believe that all men are afraid of that. I would say this. I'm not afraid of that. But to answer your question, there's three particular things, and there are a few subgroups I look for are the things I see. Number one, you have to see whether or not this person have the capacity to expand you. That don't mean coming with a whole bunch of money or nothing like that. That's not what I'm looking for. But how does she help to expand you? Because you have to know you. I know that I'm a man. I'm a man of purpose. I know that I'm a man that's out there making a difference. So I can't have a woman who is so insecure in herself that, you know, she can't deal with another conversation of the fact that this is what I do. And see, it's not a new person. I've shown you a track record, 39 years of me doing what I do inside of that. So number two, it has to be this aura that she's not looking for. She's not looking for the failure. She's looking for what becomes better. How does he make my life better? And making her life better is not just buying her this and buying her that. Making her life better is what I'm able to pour inside of her and pour into her. How does that make a difference? And definitely, thirdly, I'm going to say, which goes without even mentioning, a person who's grounded enough to be truthful with themselves. All this super fake, hyper religious stuff, it don't impress me at all. Matter of fact, it really gives me a great indication that you're auditioning. That's not who you are. That's what you're doing. And so it's an audition. The reality is you need to be able to have a conversation on multiple levels. You know, I mean, if every other word is praise the Lord and hallelujah and, you know, praise God. It's so good to see you today, brother. Praise God. I it's good to know that I got a man of God. Praise God. No. Because at the end of the day, you're not going to do that all the time.
Right.
You have to have a conversation. What is your worldview?
Right.
What is your view of life? What is your purpose in life? Do you know that purpose in life? Are you able to fulfill that purpose in life? You know, are you able to walk alongside someone? Because you can be an independent woman, fine. But listen, how do you connect with a man? How do you connect with him? Mm-hmm. Everyone is not ready to connect. That's why I think a lot of people say, well, I'm not ready to be in one, a relationship, because I'm not ready to connect. And that's fine. I think women sometimes have it better than men, in my opinion, because women get together, you know, they got girl trip, you know, girl, we going, my girls, and they entertain with each other. When you get a certain age, you don't have that luxury with men, because most of the brothers are married or most of the brothers are doing something else. So finding that type of connection there is different. So a woman has to make sure of this. I believe this inside of she's going to prepare herself for a man, for that mate that she's equipped to be with, because she's not equipped to be with every man.
Right.
The Lord made Adam a helpmate. She was suited for him. She was fitted for him. She was fashioned for him. First of all, you have to know as a man, every woman is not suited for you, a fashion for you. She may be cute. She may be pretty. She may be all those things, but she may not be suited for where you're going. Mindset, mentality, the ability to expand. A woman's natural function is to multiply. She's a receiver, and everything that she receives, think about, she multiplies. Mm. Be fruitful and multiply. Man supplies the seed, but the woman multiplies it. She multiplies everything. Her ability to multiply. When women self-sabotage themselves and self-sabotage their men, they are dealing with some level of degree of toxicity in their life, whether it's damage, conscientiously damage, damages from the past, flashback. So they no longer can trust any longer. And they bring that non-trust into a new relationship, and the brother never gets a chance to ever be who he needs to be, because you keep presenting to him what you dealt with. And so it really requires us being open to where we are, being resilient, being able to know, listen, I can't let the desperateness of loneliness make my decision about where I want to be and who I want to be with. We can't. We can't look at us. Well, the old clock is ticking, so I'll just settle for anything. But by the same token, on the flip side, don't be so particular there with your 10 major things that they must have.
They gotta have. They gotta be able to do this, and gotta.
They
be
gotta
able
have to all 10 of these.
I was 55 when I walked down the aisle again. I had been married for 19 years and divorced for 19 years. So it took me time to process and walk this out, to know I needed to be comfortable with Valerie, what Valerie loved, what Valerie needed. And the truth be told, Alex and I, we don't have a lot of things in common, except for we love each other and we love the Lord. But he allows me to be me. He's like, he knew I was in ministry when he met me. He knew I traveled, and he know I knew a lot of celebrities and stuff like that. And he didn't care about all of that. Only thing he cared about was me. And guess what? Even to this time and this date, all he cares about is me, and he takes care of me, which is what I wanted. I wanted someone to take care of me. Now, taking care of me doesn't mean, okay, you got to have a lot of money because I'm up there. I got to have this and I got to have that. No, taking care of me means taking care of me emotionally, comforting and keeping my heart so that I love him naturally, and he loves me naturally. He had a good job. That's another thing. I'm not going to marry nobody who don't have a job. He had a job, and now he's retired. But, you know, him working and me doing my thing, and when we came together as one, and it's been 5 years we've been together. We've been together 7, but been married for 5. I'll be 62 next month. So I'm 62 because he keeps me smiling. He keeps me happy, and keeping me happy doesn't mean buying me things. Keeping me happy doesn't mean, oh, we going on trips all the time. Just being there for me, and I'm there for him. And a lot, I think in relationships, you know, I don't know why we're on relationships, we shifted, but I don't know. We just talk about, we need to, you know, because I know a lot of our sisters and our brothers, they're going through depression because they're lonely, and they're wanting someone to be in their lives. They're tired of work, church, and home.
Yeah.
And, you know, but, you know, there's so much more to work, church, and home. Go out to a restaurant. You don't need a date to go to a restaurant. Go to a movies. You don't need nobody to take you to the movies. If there's an event going on, there's a chamber. We have chambers in your local communities. Go out to chamber meetings. Introduce yourself. See what's going on in the community. And then in that stance, you'll get a chance to meet individuals outside of your normal circle. So invite other people into your space to help expand who you are. And actually, you'll embrace a larger vision of yourselves because you'll be able to see things from a different lens.
Yeah, that is so absolutely true. And we must be willing to take that chance inside of it. I believe this. I believe that sometimes our thought system, our belief system, so impacts the way we even embrace or open up to people. It just does. I thought you did a great job in explaining what it meant to be taken care of. Too often we take our cues from the wrong folks. So we being taken care of is being showered with all the diamonds and all the finest of this. And that's fine if that's what floats your boat. But at the end of the day, the sense of being assured, being loved, being desired, being wanted, being, you know, wanting to uplift. In other words, wanting to do life with you. You got me wanting to do life. That's a whole different thing. As a man, and as a man of purpose, as a man that is a leader, as a man who's out front and things like that, one of the things that's important, believe it or not, people get the wrong impression. They think because, oh, man, you're very well known or folks know you and all that, you must totally have it together. No, my needs are totally different than what you may think it is.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. All those accolades and stuff and things, those things are good, but it's something about being able to share that with that special person.
Exactly.
That person who asks you just their very opinion, and a person who actually appreciate and love you for you, not for the optics sake. And that's why I always got admired with you and you and Alex, because the fact he's not into the optics. He knows all that stuff. You know, that means very little to him and everything, because at the end of the day, there's only one star in the room, a celebrity, and that's Val. That's not the thing. And that's what's important. And the same thing that I say is about understanding the way to this here is to be in tune with my language, my love language, not with my optics, not with those things there. Because at the end of the day, man, I'm a human being. I am very easy to talk to, believe it or not. I am very much I'm a thinker. I'm going to always think. I'm always thinking. I'm always looking at possibility and what life could be like and through those lens. And listen, if you're stuck on, well, I just kind of do nothing but stay within four walls, then we're probably not going to be very well together because there's too much life, too much life left. And that's just too many things to do. And, you know, we're world shakers and we're difference makers. And so, you know, my part of this mission is the fact, can you support me? What does support mean? Support meaning being there in mind, body,
exactly, spirit,
your presence. Understanding the fact when it's time for you to pour into me. Because for people like ourselves who's always pouring out and always pouring out, we are the very ones who needs that individual who knows how to pour back into us.
Yes.
And so as they say, if you step into me, just looking for me to do all the pouring. If you're stepping into me, just looking for me to always do all that. And I'm a natural giver. You know that. I mean, that's me. I mean, it's hard for me to turn off being a giver and totally giving. But you must understand there is a role for you to be able to reciprocate, pour back into. To be able to acknowledge that your need to be reciprocated to or poured into does not indicate it's a weakness. It's a need. Yes. It's not a weakness. It's a need.
Yes.
Wanting love and needing love is not a weakness. It's a need.
Yes.
That's why man should not be alone. Okay.
Yep. Woman shouldn't be alone either. But we do. We have to open and broaden our horizons. You know, too many times we listen to what other people say, and you know, those friends that are in your ear saying this and that to you and what your expectation should be, check who they're with. Check if they're happy. So I won't, Les used to say, I won't listen to nobody telling me about how they diet when they're overweight themselves.
It's got a hard pizza, right?
Yeah, don't tell me anything about that when you can't. So you have to know in yourself what you want and what your needs are and what it would take to make you happy. And when you find someone that's willing and able to do that, to love just you, the authentic you, then that's worth giving it all in for. That's worth the sacrifice. That's worth the shift. And then you can build from there. And a lot of times I always tell people, write down in a book what you want. Now, I see one of the comments from Lee Bailey says 7 to 5 qualities in a relationship. You don't have to have the whole 10, but get 7 to 5 from Lee Bailey. Well, you know, good, but you're not always going to find that perfect 100% person that's going to have everything and all the qualities you need. But 99% will do for me. I'm just kidding. But, you know, then it's not, like I said, you know, in relationships, sometimes it's not good for you both to be doing the same thing.
Exactly.
I didn't want nobody that was a motivational speaker. Didn't want nobody that was a preacher. Been there, done that. I was married to a pastor. Didn't want to do that again. So, but I wanted somebody that loved God, because if he loved God, then he could love me. And then, so therefore, that's how we work. That's how we mesh. Now, a lot of people claim to love the Lord, but yes, they really don't.
Yes. Well, everything goes back to value with me. First of all, I think that you have to be with someone that values you. Value you. In other words, who recognizes the fact of your very presence, that you bring value to me. And that value in my life is more than I bring notoriety to you. No, that's not what we're talking about. When I talk about bring value to me, is that you add to me. Your train of thought either provokes me to do better, or your train of thought empowers me to want more. And that's important. So the value, as a man talking to women, you've got to have a man that values you. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying value. I'm not lust after you, but value you, who you are, who value you, value your time, value what you bring.
Right.
A secure man in himself is not intimidated by what the woman has. I don't care if she's got 3 PhDs.
Right.
He's not intimidated by it. He sees how he is able to discern, how does that work with the call in my life? How does that work with what I'm called to do? Because when you really come together with somebody, it does become something about how do we, it's team us now. What does this team us look like? And how do we vibe? That's why I tell people, you know, reality TV messes a lot of people up.
Oh, man.
It messes up a lot.
That's another conversation. Yeah. Again, this reality TV, y'all sitting there watching somebody else's reality instead of building your own. I hate reality shows.
Yeah. And so people oftentimes will base their lives based on what they're saying. Real Housewives of Atlanta, really? Real Housewives of LA? Real Housewives of wherever? Real Housewives, Love and Marriage, Huntsville? All those things. I'm not dogging those shows, but what I'm saying is that what do you capture from it? Drama.
Yeah, but the expectations are tarnished because they're thinking that's reality. They're thinking that looks good. I hate those shows because, you know, nobody wants to live in drama all the time.
No
man wants to hear you cackling all the time. And no woman wants to hear you be like, oh, trying to be of the boss on the head. Nobody wants that. That's not reality. That's not how, that's toxicity. What do you say? Toxicity.
Toxicity, yes.
Nobody wants to live a toxic life. Well, nobody with a right mind that wants to go somewhere and be somebody and accomplish some things. Nobody wants to fight all the time.
Absolutely. And we have to really divest ourselves from those things. A lot of these shows, all they do is stir up, if you would, it stirs up your imagination for things that aren't real. The drama that goes along with it. I mean, you look at shows like Put a Ring on It, and folks haven't put a ring on it in 14 years. You've been together. Listen here, you've been engaged how long? I mean, well, this is our 10th year being engaged, really. No. was asking you to marry you. What,
after a year, you should know if you're going to be with this person or not. After a year.
Yes. But once again, it goes back to where we're willing to meet each other. To understand, I believe language is important. Love language is important. Understanding who a person is. You know, I recently had some conversations. Some people say, well, chemistry. Well, I've made that mistake before about chemistry. And if you put too much emphasis on chemistry, you may miss out on connection. You may miss out on compatibility. You may miss out on all those other things. Let me tell you something. There's chemistry that happens all the time, and it shifts. Let me give you a perfect example. We see it all the time. Whether we in college sports or high school, man, listen, when we're at each other, our rival, we at our rivals. But when that picture get larger, look here, I'm rooting for everything out of Alabama. Why? Because I'm from Alabama. Guess what? Auburn wanted you. Yes. Why? Because it represented. I felt good because I felt a connection to the state. And so what I'm saying is sometimes, in, you know, with people, you may not always feel a chemistry that's strong right then. But here's the thing about it. The more that you are able to have connection with, connectivity, commonality in, it will create its own chemistry. Why? Because there are things that we identify with. There are things that we identify together. If we can ever begin to understand our purpose, there's purpose. Every relationship should have purpose.
Yes.
And a relationship ought to have purpose. And let me make sure I'm clear on this. Some people get married out of business sense. Now, that's something you're going to have to make work. Because let me say something to you. If your relationship is built only on dollars and cents, you're going to have to understand what you're actually sacrificing. Because dollars and cents may not always be that sense of sensitivity, comfort,
right,
understanding, being able to really be there and to really show you that, listen, I need you, that if we didn't have nothing, I would still love you and be here. However, on the other hand here, I always say, don't forfeit the ultimate for the immediate.
Wow.
The ultimate could be something that is pure, something that is loving, something that has substance. Don't forfeit it for the immediate, just a good feeling. We got some money. No, it's got to go beyond that. It's got to. What is the ultimate? And so that's where the patience come in. We have to be able to be patient inside of ourselves to understand what is it, what we want, patient enough. That doesn't mean that you hold out 10 years with your 18 things that you're looking for and he had 15, but that's not enough. No, no. But that means if my patience inside of it is also watching my own growth, my own development. What lessons have I learned now that I didn't know then? Mm-hmm. If I'm honest with myself, can I go back and examine myself and recognize where my hangups are, my little idiosyncrasies? Because sometimes, guess what? We have to examine what aura am I giving off? What, you know, what's coming right from me? And when we're able to do that and willing to be real and transparent with ourselves, guess what? People can be real with us. So in the name of wearing masks, look here, the CDC may be mandating masks, but come on, y'all. Some of us been wearing masks for a long time.
A long time.
We've been masking
who we are. Please show up.
We've been pretending who we are. Listen, who is that person behind the mask? You know, and that's the thing about it. Many of you and many people have entered into a relationship with the mask on. Mm. Only after it was I do and they got tied up that the mask eventually came off. And the person saw you for what you were, or you saw them for what they were.
The
expectation changed because guess what? You was caught up in being a great pretender.
You know, in all fairness too, I also think it was because they weren't taught certain things. They didn't have any ladies that they could talk to or no men that they could talk about how relationships should go, that there's a give and there's a take. Just like me growing up, I watched my father take care of all the bills and mom worked and she did. They put their monies together. So I expected that in my first marriage, but I didn't get that. I got where I was working. I was paying all the bills. I made sure everything was taken care of and he was a free for all, heavenly minded, no earthly good. Everything was the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. The lights got cut off because you ain't paid the lights. well, we're going to pray and pray for a miracle. The miracle was you needed to go down there and pay the bill. You know, so we go through situations like that in a relationship where it's like, okay, the car payment is due. Oh, well, they put all the money in the church and now I got to pray for the car payment. No, you had the money for the car payment. You should have paid the bill. So stuff like that, I was going through for 19 years of the marriage. Water cut off, being evicted, put in place because it didn't do what it's supposed to do. Everything is not about the Lord. Everything right. is about the Lord, but the Lord is not going to come down and go down to FPNL and pay the bill. He's not going to come down and go to the car dealership or the car finance pay and pay the bill because he's already empowered you to get that. He's already given you the money to do it, and you didn't do what you were supposed to do with it. So there has to be some boundaries. There have to be some clear expectations of the roles you want to play and what you want out of a relationship in order for it to work. It can't be lopsided. The, you know, back in the day, just a man worked and a woman stayed at home with the babies. Well, that's not where we are right now. So if two people have to go to work in order to make their dream become a reality, then do that. And it doesn't mean shop until you drop. If you're not able to do that, okay, it's all right. But it doesn't mean that it won't come a time where you can shop till you drop.
You know what? And you gave a great prerequisite. And oftentimes it's what we're not taught. And sometimes we're not taught it, but even more dangerous, we don't seek it. We don't seek to know any better. We don't seek to know any better. And so when we go back to, like, for instance, as a man, it's just embedded in me that I'm supposed to take care of things. I'm supposed to do so. I can't sit there and wish upon a star and hope. No. There's a reason why God is the provider. And so I need to do what I need to do inside of it and making things work. By the same token, you talk about the fact of what happens when we come together. I know for me, it's really interesting thing because I believe in just, I mean, I don't know no other way but to give, to adorn, to dress. I want you to have the best. I want you to feel great. I want you to feel special. I'm always going to do those things to help build. But by the same token, the greatest thing I can give you is a sense of consistency. Mm. Consistency equals security. When we feel secure, it's because I see something consistent inside of you. It's hard to really make things work when it's always knee-jerk, you know, discombobulated, you know, you never know. Goodness gracious. Brothers, build some consistency. Build some consistency about yourself. What are you consistent in doing? What is it about you? And that's how you know the pretender. If you did all these things to get a person, which was pretense, and now that you got them, listen, and then now you're not doing any of them, all you did is gave them a representation. That's why I say to look here, let me put it this way. I've said to people of my past, I know it must have been hard for you to get used to not being with someone who was a gentleman for real, who very nature is to be a gentleman, who's right. taught that to his sons, who knows me. My greatest joy is watching my sons and how they interact with the females in their lives. And I'm not just talking about their wife, their girlfriend, just the fact they know I don't. They're going to open that door. There's no way in the world you're going to touch the door around one of my sons because they've seen their dad do it. It's a part of them. It's not something you do in pool for, oh, he's a gentleman. No. This is 24/7. It's a part of the upbringing. It's a part of the thought. There's not a woman that's going to walk by with her hands full of grocery not around one of my sons.
Right.
You know why? They've been taught. Ma'am, let me help you with that. They know to do so. Because that's what they see. By the same token, if I as a man only look at what I can get out of a woman, not what I can give to her, guess what? All I am doing, I am teaching a way that, brother, all I am doing is being a manipulator.
Wow.
You got to be willing to give. You got to be willing to hang in there. You got to be resilient. And you got to know that these are great times. Dr. V, look, time is gone, but how dare us in this time together, we're not talking about the very special honor that you're going to be receiving on this Saturday, right there in Fort Lauderdale. I want to say congratulations to you, as you will be a recipient of the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award. Well deserved. President Joe Biden's first one, Lifetime Achievement Award, recognizing all the things that you've done throughout your life, not only the giving, not only the helping women and children that's in domestic violence, but also championing other causes, being there in so many ways. And it's great to know that you're going to be honored and you're going to be recognized for this. And so I say congratulations to you. You deserve it. You know, the beautiful thing about it, that will be recorded. That reward and that and your honor will be recorded in the United States Library of Congress.
Yeah,
all eternity.
It is an honor.
Recognize.
Yeah, so, I've had people reach out and say, "How do you feel about that?" I'm like, "I don't know," because it's like I have so much that I still feel needs to be done. When there's so many children that are living lives not to the fullest because of their life situation, where there's domestic violence, when there are women and men constantly being abused, when there's homelessness, when people are suffering and going through depression and taking their lives. It's like, it's so much that I feel still needs to be done. The truth of the matter is we can all do more than what we're doing right now.
Absolutely.
And like I said, it's not just about me. It's about what God wants to do through me, what he's doing through you. And those that are listening to my voice, you can always do more. You know, when I talked about going shopping and buying these $100 and $200 outfits, do you really need that when you know somebody is going through in their home that has young people, that have children, that don't have shoes to wear properly to school? And we talk about masks. There's some families that can't even afford to buy masks, not even the cloth ones. So, you know, there's a lot that we can all do. And, you know, when I get this award, I'm getting it for all the sheroes and the heroes who did not make it, that, you know, succumb to domestic violence and to, you know, their lives were cut short because of domestic violence. So that this is for them, and to all those that I have helped, I got it because of you. So I'm sharing this with you. It's not just mine. It is for all of you. And I thank you so much. And Dr. J, we've been walking this walk of friendship for 30 years, and I appreciate you. You got one from President Obama.
I felt just like you. It's like when people ask that, it was hard because we do what we do because it's part of our call. We don't do it for recognition. So I remember in my acceptance speech, I ended it by saying this, that, and I quoted, I believe that I quoted the words of Sir Winston Churchill, and where he says that we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And that's what we've done. We've made our lives by what we give.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you, and to all that tune in. You know, if this broadcast has been a blessing, please share it on your social media platforms and join us Tuesday, 8 p.m. for another Hot Topics from the Soul. And I'm so glad for those of you that tune in, those that tune in for the very first time. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And from my heart to yours, we love you. Good night and God bless.
Good night.